Some new players in the global game of interest rates? In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams, in for David Brancaccio. It was a big day for central banks yesterday. Christine Lagarde is the new nominee to head the European Central Bank, taking over as the European economy is slowing down. And President Trump, who has attacked the U.S. Federal Reserve for raising interest rates, said he will nominate two people to the Fed who seem to support lower rates. For more on this, I'm joined live by Marketplace's Marielle Segarra. And Marielle, let's start with one of the folks Trump named, Christopher Waller. Who is he?
He's a more conventional pick for the Fed. He is currently research director at the St. Louis Fed. It's one of the Fed's 12 regional banks. He has done research suggesting he'd be in favor of lowering interest rates. And he said he supports the Fed's independence, that central banks need to avoid changing rates for, quote, short-term political reasons.
Okay, so who's the other nominee?
Judy Shelton. She directs the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development. It's an international investment bank. She was also an economic advisor to President Trump's campaign, and she has been a big critic of the Fed and its policy. So during the financial crisis, she complained that the Fed was keeping interest rates too low, but now she says it should cut them back down to zero. And she has said many times in the past that she's in favor of a gold standard, you know, linking the U.S. dollar to the price of gold. That could cut into the Fed's independence because it could have to raise or lower interest rates to keep the dollar in sync with gold, even if the Fed doesn't think that's right for the economy. She has said more recently that she wouldn't push for a gold standard now. And both of these candidates would need to be officially nominated by the president and then confirmed by the Senate.
Marketplace's Marielle Segarra, thanks. And let's do the numbers. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 2 to 4/10% range, with the Dow future up 61 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is down at 1.955%.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Gas prices jumped in the past 2 weeks, according to data from AAA. The national average is $2.73, a 5-cent increase from last week. So it will cost more for the 41 million motorists traveling for the 4th of July. Marketplace's Erica Barris has more.
Gas prices tend to increase right before a holiday, but this year,
we've definitely seen them jump.
Jeanette Casalano is a spokesperson for AAA. She points to higher crude oil prices, lots of demand, and shrinking supply, in part thanks to a recent fire in Philadelphia that shuttered a large refinery that served the East Coast. The result? Gas coming in from elsewhere.
That's going to incur higher transportation costs for retailers, and retailers are then going to pass on those higher costs to their consumers.
Also this week, 13 states, including California, saw gas tax increases. AAA says California has the highest gas prices in the country at the moment, about $3.76 a gallon. Wallace Tyner is an economist at Purdue University. He says state taxes raise the average cost nationwide.
Now there's a few extra cents added to the price.
But he points out gas prices this holiday weekend are about 10 cents cheaper than they were around this time last year. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
Cookouts, barbecues, and picnics are the most popular activity on the 4th of July, according to the National Retail Federation. And that means plenty of ketchup and mustard, or maybe sriracha. Chipotle mayo? The condiment aisle is a lot more interesting than it used to be, and as Marketplace's Amy Scott reports, that's created some challenges for plain old ketchup.
I'm standing in the condiment aisle at my local grocery store, and there are at least half a dozen varieties of ketchup on the shelves. There's regular Heinz tomato ketchup, then there's the organic variety, no sugar added, no salt added, no artificial sweeteners.
There's certainly been a proliferation of varieties of what's essentially still basic ketchup.
That's Mike Richardson, a food industry analyst at the Fredonia Group. He says as American diners have become more adventurous in the last decade, ketchup sales have stayed pretty flat at around $1 billion a year.
The development of some of these new variations of ketchup has been an effort to retain the customer base for ketchup that might otherwise have gone in search of something more exciting.
Or something that at least seems more healthy. Hunt's, made by ConAgra, just released a new best ever ketchup that's made with sugar instead of high fructose corn syrup. Heinz is still king of ketchup. Molly White, head of marketing for sauces and condiments, says a lot of the brand's growth is coming from organic, sugar-free, and salt-free varieties.
And that better for you segment for us, that represents more than 15% of our sales, and it's been growing year over year.
Hot's also hot. There's jalapeno and sriracha ketchup. And if you thought mayo chup, the ketchup mayo combo Heinz introduced last year, was just a gimmick, meet Ed Chip, ketchup mixed with pop star Ed Sheeran. In this commercial, he pulls a bottle of Heinz out of his backpack at a fancy restaurant to everyone's horror.
You know, the food looked good, but I just thought there was something missing.
And the stakes for product innovation are high, says Rita McGrath, a professor at Columbia Business School. Heinz just hired a new CEO after posting a $12.6 billion loss last quarter.
So any bit of erosion, any bit of pressure on their market share or footprint is going to drop right to the bottom line and cause harm.
Making this a big weekend for fireworks and condiments. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.